For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this late on a Wednesday night. A night in which the Kings were welcoming in the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tied for the best record in the NBA. Back-to-back losses. And oh, we got breaking news. No Sabonis. No Zach LaVine. No Jake LaRavia. Oh, great. All right. Well, that's a tough one. It's going to be tough no matter
what. It's going
to be tough. No. The Sacramento Kings, after a slow start in the first quarter, they mustered just 15 points on 4 of 23 shooting. They stuck with it. They kept going, and they played tough. They played physical. They played fast. The Kings got huge contributions from the rookie, Devin Carter, who played closing time minutes, 16 points, big dunks, big steals, and the Sacramento Kings got it done down the stretch behind DeMar DeRozan and Malik Monk and beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, handing them their third consecutive loss. And the Kings get back-to-back wins on the seven-game homestand, winning tonight 123-119, scoring 76 points in the second half on 68% shooting, 8 of 15 from downtown. A huge win for the Sacramento Kings, and no rest. They get ready for action Thursday night against the Chicago Bulls. This podcast presented by our friends at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
So good. What a fun Wednesday. What a fun way to just really start. I mean, I know the homestand started against Memphis, but like just the beginning part of this seven-game homestand has been really quality basketball, quality wins, like not fluky in any way. Oh, they're in a second night of a back-to-back. Oh, they're this. Or oh, they're shorthanded. Like, no. Challenges thrown left and right. Challenges accepted.
And they were down Darius Garland, so they were shorthanded too. We do acknowledge that. But obviously a Kings team that doesn't have Sabonis and LaVine, you're looking around. And even LaRavia, who had such a big impact last game against Memphis, which really I felt like propelled the Kings and got them to take advantage of the Grizzlies. Without him, you're going, oh, man, what's it going to look like? And early on, this game was hideous from the Kings' offense. It looked like this Cavs team who came into the game with the number one half-court defense in the league. One of the best teams in the league, just period, right? Offensively, defensively, it looked like the Kings were not going to be able to penetrate that defense. They couldn't get in the paint. In fact, they had 0 points in the paint in the first quarter. Yeah. 0 on 4 attempts. We mentioned 4 of 23 shooting, Morgan. And yet, they were only down 22-15 after the first.
Yeah.
And in some ways, you looked at that score and went, it feels like it should be a lot worse.
That's what I felt like. And that's why I was surprised, because I felt like the Kings defense was good, but I didn't feel like it was great to start the game. Right. I mean, you saw the way that the Cavs were still playing pretty fast. They were swinging the ball around. They were getting some open looks, and I was getting a little worried, but at the same time, I was just happy that it wasn't this big score, especially since watching the Clippers and the Cavs last night.
Yep.
And what that score was in the first quarter, nobody could miss a shot. Defense was being played. Nobody could miss a shot. So the fact that it wasn't like that for the Sacramento Kings and the Cavs, I was happy that it was still close.
This, for me, is the best win of the season.
I know.
Late in the season, you're taking on a Cavs team during a crucial stretch of the season where you're trying to build some momentum with a group that's still relatively new together.
Sure.
And this group new together, has also faced adversity with Sabonis missing time before this, missed six games, right? Mm-hmm. With the hamstring. Then he comes back for like a game or two. And now with the ankle, adversity. LaVine misses tonight's game. Personal reasons.
Yeah.
More adversity. Laravia, same thing. And to see guys get more opportunities and then
step up.
Step up.
That's it.
They execute. Were able to hang in this game because they didn't like they did not get deflated by the missed shots early and the lack of really any type of good looks. They did not get any clean looks for the most part in that first quarter. They were settling for a lot of mid-range shots. As I mentioned, nothing in the paint in the first quarter, but they didn't let it rattle them. And they came out focused, played much faster in the second quarter, got back in the game, and then the third quarter blitz. I mean, where do we start with this game? Your favorite things? Let's go.
Oh, some of my favorite things.
What are some of your favorite things?
What song is this?
I don't know. Isn't it a song?
No.
What are some of your favorite things?
Are you serious? You just picked a sentence and said, isn't it a song?
Some of my favorite things.
Oh, it's these are some of my
favorite things. Don't look at me like I'm dumb.
I forget the song, though. You're not dumb.
Devin Carter steals and dunks.
Is that the Christmas one?
Maybe.
Devin Carter steals it. No. That's Christmas.
I'm
okay.
I'm going to actually put this on you. Let's rewind. What are some of your favorite things?
All right. Some of my favorite things. Well, let's start with Devin Carter because I think you just talked about what we saw.
Sound of Music.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How do you not know that?
You didn't know that either. These are a few of my favorite things. Yes. Okay. Got it.
Now keep going.
Doe, a deer, female deer.
You suck.
You sing it.
You're just ruining it.
I know this song. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, you think?
Okay. Anyway, Ariana Grande did like a remix.
Cool.
A remake, whatever. Okay, some of my favorite things. Devin Carter. And we talked about how this team did not start off on the right foot first quarter. All the different things. How deflating that can be. I felt like, though, when that second unit and some of these guys got in there, you did feel not necessarily an energy shift, but a different type of energy that was being brought out there. Again, these are guys that can defend on ball. And when you have multiple out there of Keegan, Devin, Keon, like you're getting that perimeter pressure that you need. And especially against some good players, like against this Cavs team. So Devin Carter comes out with his defense right away again. He started that Memphis game, same kind of thing. Started the game playing under 5 minutes, had three steals. This game, I don't know where he began, but he finished with three steals. And
so seven steals in the last two games for Devin Carter.
Yeah, and just the way that he came out with that tenacious defense and then was making his dunks, was making his free throws, all the things that he talked about that he wanted to make sure that he did in this one. It just felt like he belonged tonight, and I loved seeing him step up in that opportunity.
Yeah, it looked like early on when he got minutes, it seemed like, one, it was a little overwhelming for him at first. A guy that's used to having the ball in his hands a lot in college, now he's adjusting to being more of a, hey, we kind of need you to just go out there and be a specialist.
Yep.
Go up, blow up screens, get through them, be physical, use your athleticism, rebound, push when you get the opportunity, and hit open threes.
Yep.
And it seemed like the game was a little more simplified for him. And you're seeing it at the last couple of games. You also have to remember, like, this guy did not get summer league. He did not get training camp. Mm-hmm. He had surgery over the offseason. Made his return, late December in the G League, then some time in January. Like, he really hasn't had a ton of game reps. And they sent him back to Stockton for a stretch where he played really strong basketball. And now he's getting a little more opportunity here. And these are the type of things that earn you more minutes, just that competitiveness. And I felt like, you know, last game, it's not like he scored 16 points, but his imprint was all over the game. Where tonight, he scored 16 points. And he was doing the other things.
Five
and
rebounds,
to see, like, him knock steals. Down a couple of threes in this
dude,
one.
Dude, and like being decisive with those moments, right? Like, was making the right play. I thought I saw maybe one time, and that could have been, God, was it at the end of the third where a few of the guys seemed passive, or like the last minute of the third where guys were just still walking it down and then turnover here, and then finally ended with Keegan's three. But But I just, like, that might have been one of the moments where I saw him, like, just give up the ball to DeMar. Okay, you go. But besides that, it felt like he was looking for his, making the quick decision, that ball fake that he made, the pass fake that he made, and then ended up shooting one of those threes. It was just, like, those little fundamental things where it was quick, it was beautiful, and everyone was working together with each other. I love the way he played. I love the way that everyone played together.
That play in the second quarter where Monk had the steal. He was running with Monk behind the back.
Yep.
Drop off to Devin Carter. And you got to see that athleticism. I mean, the guy's ridiculous. His bounce is nasty.
Well, he was asked about it in his post-game presser. And it was about the dunk. And he was like, yeah, I just jumped or something.
I know. I just jumped.
I was like, bro, you flew. You flew above the rim. You threw it down. You made your dunks. Like, it looked good. It felt good. 6 for 11 from the field. Like we said, 2 of 6 from 3-point land. Just a great way to come off the bench, especially when you're playing shorthanded, and especially because you weren't the first to come off the bench, obviously, in the other games. But because the opportunity was there, you capitalize on it.
Some of the plays that just jumped out. Obviously, that third quarter run where they were just relentless defensively, forcing turnovers, playing fast, getting good looks. They end up going on like a 21-6 push. You had Keegan with some great defense at the rim on Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
We got to talk more about Keegan.
Yeah.
And then the other way, ball movement. DeMar pushes, gets it to Lyles, who was patient, kicks it back out. Keegan buries a three. The Kings end up going up by 6 at that point. Then you had a Devin Carter 3, Keon with the steal, and Keegan with the jam. The place is going absolutely
nuts,
crazy at that point. Then one of my favorite plays, Devin defending, he gets a hand on a ball that, on a ball.
Rewind?
Let's rewind that. Okay. Devin Carter defending Ty Jerome, puts a ball on the floor. Devin gets a piece of it, okay? Trey somehow comes up with it. Trey saves it.
Okay.
He goes to save it, and I look at Devin Carter, and he's trying to time his jump just right, times it just right, and he's got the leaping ability, grabs that ball, and then the Kings were off to the races. He skied for that save in that moment. Those are things that don't show up on the box score, but it's that hustle play. It's making sure to be physical. It's picking up Donovan Mitchell full court late in the game. Dude. It's fighting through screens. It's using your length and athleticism. I just loved how he played tonight. And that's exactly the type of player that I think all Kings fans kind of envisioned he could be this year. Yeah. That a guy that could be an on-ball menace, that could do some things off-ball, be able to read the situation.
Contribute.
Morgan mentioned this earlier with a play where Max Strus, I'm like, oh, he's calling for the ball. He's going to curl around. Devin read it, just like me. Deuce Mason, the basketball mind. Steele, we're going the other way. So Devin Carter deserves all the love for what he did tonight. The Kings bench with 36 points off the bench.
Yeah, it's about everyone playing their role. And, I mean, since we're starting on the bench anyway, then I just want to go to Trey Lyles, too, because we talked to him after the game, and I asked him about last game, 9 rebounds, tonight, 7 rebounds. Like, just what was your approach? And he's like, I want to stay on the floor. And he understands by doing some of the other things like that and not just scoring the basketball, you're going to stay on the floor. And especially because you're going into a game where you're probably going to lack some rebounding due to some guys being out, Domas Sabonis mainly being one of them. And so you had to make sure you were going to clean things up. He did with his 7 big boards, but on top of that, 5 assists. So he was just swinging around the basketball, making the right play, and finished with 13 points.
It was huge. It was huge tonight for the Kings.
Huge bench.
And especially with Sabonis being out, like, Valanciunas is obviously going to be impactful, but who is going to give you some quality minutes at that backup 5 spot? And they're going to need Trey to do that, especially when teams go smaller. Mm. And Valanciunas is not the type of guy that you want defending Evan Mobley out in the perimeter, right? And Evan kind of made him pay when Mobley went off late in that third quarter.
That was scary.
I mean, he had like 15 straight on his own or something that.
It was like cleaning up, flying in the air to just like getting an open lane, dunking, hitting a three, whatever it was. He was doing it all. He finished with 31 points in this one and 10 rebounds.
But the Kings out-rebounded them tonight, 41-37. Mm. So that was good because you mentioned Trey with 8. Devin Carter had 5 rebounds in this game.
Yeah.
To go along with the 16 points, 3 assists, 3 steals. The next guy I want to talk about is Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray, since January 1st, is shooting right around 38% from three. You'll take that. You're shooting 38% from three. Great three-point shooter. With guys out, in a perfect world, would you love to see him score 20? Yeah, of course.
Sure.
But what this guy does defensively, one night he's defending Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. The other night he's defending Jaren Jackson Jr. He needs to pick up Desmond Bane tonight. At times, defending Evan Mobley, trying to make life more challenging on him. At times, picking up Donovan Mitchell full court. Keegan Murray does things defensively that not many players in the league can do from a versatility standpoint.
Spectacular.
And to have someone like that on your squad, and when you start seeing these lineups that feature Devin Carter, Keon Ellis, and Keegan Murray out there, same with last game when you had like Devin, Jake, and Keon out there. You just see
what perimeter pressure can do.
What type of impact that can have on the game. Yeah. That impacted this game tonight.
It totally did. And it's like going to what you're saying about Keegan, though, and his ability to defend so many different types of players, roles, whatever, positions. I think it's I understand it sometimes not getting the love that it deserves because it's like, look, you're in the ninth spot, you know, you're in a playing spot, whatever, like win games and you're getting talked about more with these things. But at the same time, we can give it love because we're seeing it every single night. Yep. You guys are seeing it every single night. And his ability to stay low with some of the quickest guards out there and with staying low in that stance, being able to take away just different things for them. It takes away angles. It takes away lanes for them to go by him because he takes up so much space, keeping his arms up. You know how hard it is to keep your arms up on a quick player? And then on top of that, being able to be strong enough against the strong big player. So when they want to body him up, he's like, bring it. I'll play with my chest. Do what I need to do. It's incredible. It's incredible. And tonight, what he was able to contribute along the perimeter with some of the bigger guys, 37 minutes, finished with 13 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And you're exactly right. It doesn't all show up on the box score.
3 of 7 from downtown. And, you know, watching the Cavs this season, they play such a beautiful brand of basketball. And the numbers back it up, right? I mean, all the shooting numbers are near the top of the NBA, whether it's field goal percentage, 3-point percentage. They're, what, I think number one in the league or number two. And then scoring near the top of the league, number one in offensive rating. And it's their off-ball movement. It's their willingness to pass the ball like crazy. The sacrifice, the movement, it's all there. It didn't feel like they were as comfortable tonight moving. And
no.
Look, some of this could be like, hey, they missed Darius Garland, the pressure he puts on that duo with Garland and Mitchell.
Second night of a back-to-back, even though their record on second nights of back-to-back, like, it's good.
Well, the record in general, I mean.
If you couldn't tell from their overall record, yes.
But I thought the smoothest they looked was when Evan Mobley was kind of taken over at the end of the third quarter there. I didn't feel like the ball was popping as much as it usually does with that group. And I think that's in large part to the Kings' pressure. Like, they're not maybe getting the looks that they normally get. The Kings' perimeter pressure, the communication, the help was there. I was really impressed with what I saw from Sacramento, especially being shorthanded. So
Yeah. I'm so with you on that. Like, giving some love to this Kings' defense as a team to slow down what the Cavs were trying to accomplish. What we saw last night against the Clippers, my goodness, the ball just moving up and down the floor, everything looking good. And that's why the Kings didn't start off this game as well, too, because it felt like they were slowing things down in the half court. They weren't being quick. It wasn't just about getting steals and going. That wasn't going to be the only thing that made you play quick. You can play with speed in so many different ways, moving the ball up the floor with the pass, with just moving without the basketball, like so many different ways, right? And the Kings were not doing that in any way till finally when they shifted things and they started pushing, it felt like it was becoming too much for the Cavs, who usually play super fast.
In this game tonight, DeMar DeRozan led the Kings in scoring with 27. I think he ended up with 11 in that fourth quarter, hit some big shots down the stretch. I thought Malik, too, was massive for Sacramento in this game. He ends up with 22 points, 8 assists, a couple of steals for Malik, and he had that big shot late, too.
fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so many good moments in this game. But that's what's so fun about this one, Deuce, is that like it's hard to just pick out everything we like, because I feel like as a team, they just played so well together. And then everyone had their moment. You talk about Malik's big shot. You talk about Keegan's big three at the end of the third. You talk about Devin's big dunk. You talk about DeMar taking in that fourth quarter, taking it to the rack, having his mid-range shot and knocking down a three. Like, just doing a little bit of everything.
I'm looking back at my notes. How about when Keegan was putting that pressure on Donovan Mitchell, knocks the ball away, dives on the floor, throws it to Trey Lyles for the score.
Oh, my God.
Debo hitting a big three to tie it at 107.
What about even, I know this ended up being a Cavs timeout, but when they all jumped on the floor together,
yes.
I forget who it was with the Cavs that was on the floor, and he said he called a timeout, but it should have been a jump ball. That effort, the effort alone. And then I think when they got the ball back, they were taking it out of bounds, sideline out of bounds, and the Kings, Trey Lyles, yes. On ball, knocks it. Next one, Malik, knocks it. Finally, they get it in bounds. Like, just the multiple efforts of not giving up.
What about that block that Malik had on Max Strus?
Oh, talk about it. Talk about it. My God.
What athleticism.
He stayed with it, and then it ended up going off of Max Strus's head or back or whatever, going out of bounds, Kings basketball. I mean, it was just a fantastic effort by Malik just to shatter the basketball, not make any other contact, and also the basketball obviously falling off of Max Strus to go the other way. Just big moments.
113-109 with 209 to go. Devin Carter is trying to fight through a screen from Evan Mobley to contest a Donovan Mitchell three. It's a missed shot, but then you hear a whistle and you're like, oh, Donovan Mitchell fell down. They decide they're going to go ahead and stop it, take a look at this to see if it meets a criteria for a flagrant foul for a reckless closeout. The officials go to review it. Oh, wait, we don't have video from Sekakis. Like, you know, video.
When the shit has that ever happened?
You have Vantage Cam. Why you don't have an angle on that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you have multiple angles.
Yeah. Above.
Above.
It's like Sting, WCW.
From the sideline.
The rafters.
Yep.
Where do you want it?
Where do you want
anyway, it? Anyway, they look at it and they go, okay. Did not need to be upgraded, but it was a foul and a 3-point shot. Can I just say, and I know maybe I'm not saying this if it's reverse. I just hate the call.
Which part about it did you hate?
Devin was trying to do everything possible not mm-hmm. to make contact with mm-hmm. him. He missed the shot. Did that impact the shot? What are these defenders supposed to do? Was Devin not supposed to contest it? Just let him shoot it? Because it's already hard enough to play defense in this league.
Yeah.
You're trying to fight around a screen. You fight around it to contest it. And there's like this slight contact, a close game with 209 to go. Three free throws?
It either needs to be any and all physical contact of any way, shape, or form, marginal on a wrist, a hand, an arm, a leg, whatever, needs to be a foul. Like, it needs to be that. Or just, like, you have to find a way to find the balance or yeah. make it consistent, however you want to put it. It's just because then it does become so frustrating. It's like, are we also, I know we always get told like, no, this would never be the reason, but like, it's a rookie and it's Donovan Mitchell. Is Donovan Mitchell selling this call yeah. for you because he is a star in this league? No, that would never go through their minds.
You know,
but
I think
at the same time,
I think the other thing that doesn't get enough love,
yeah.
or who doesn't get enough like love and respect from the officials is Keon Ellis.
Oh, no.
He does not ever get the benefit of a whistle. I'm just like, what?
Dude.
Who was it? Ty Jerome who stepped on his foot? Or someone stepped on his foot?
I think it was Jerome.
And they call him a foul. And I'm just like,
that one? That one? There was that illegal screen that they called on him. I just didn't understand it. I just did not think there was enough contact. And then there's one more that I thought was just so ridiculous. And Doug didn't want to use the challenges. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them for not wanting to use the challenges, because of what they've experienced the last couple of games, it's so deflating to see like the marginal contact was enough for them, but not for the other guys, you know, whatever you want to call it. And it's just like, I don't even want to deal with that shit. I want to deal with having my challenge if it's going to be a out of bounds call or something I need at the end of this close game. And ultimately, did he end up using it? I don't even remember.
No.
He didn't end up using it. So now he goes home with a challenge, never gets used again. But at the same time, it's like, I understand the thinking. Trying to win the game.
Appreciate this massive crowd hanging out with us on a Wednesday night. If you have not done it yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe, you basketball sickos.
Give me a hell yeah.
All it does is help our channel grow. A couple of super chats we need to get to. Shout out to Default.
Thank you.
Alex here. Rabia's husband. Is it Rabia? Is that how she said it?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for the beautiful shout out last episode. What a way to wake up. Can you give her some love for when she tunes in? She dominates in the post at the Y and in my heart.
Oh my God. Oh, she plays
ball at the Y? I play ball at the Y. Well, she's the best.
Yeah. The best.
Probably better than you in a lot of ways, right? Because she watches live.
Wait. You just gave him love last night. Now you're going to shit on him?
Yeah, but I'm lifting her up.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So shit on someone else to lift.
But I'm glad you're here live tonight.
Yeah.
She's the best.
She is the best. Thank you so much, Rabia.
Robin donates $2 saying, drove me to drink. It was already in walking distance. Okay. Well, drink water too. Jan donating $20. Celebration time. Shout out to Jacob. No Sabonis. No Levine. No LaRavia. No problem.
Hell yeah.
Chris says, light the beam. We are owning this homestand.
Wow. Let's go. People feeling you guys, thank you for all the donations too.
Remy, thanks so much for becoming a member. Christopher donates $5. Huge win. Can I get a hell yeah? Plan on being at the final regular season Kings game 4/13. Girlfriend's birthday followed by Monday Night Raw in Sac. Yeet.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Shout out from Costa Rica, from Sandela. Jay Scott donates $5. Devin Carter's the other big moment was in the Celtics win. Dude is big time. Light the beam. And Oleg is insane. He donated $200 and says, I'll fund the pyro.
Okay. Thanks, Oleg.
A fireworks.
Well, now we need to get pyro for the studio. Come on. Jeez. Thank you guys for all the donations, all the love, and just everyone for being here. It's been a roller coaster this season. And I think the funnest part has been able to talk about good basketball after some of these games, because I mentioned good basketball and not just all wins, because we've seen some good basketball in that Clippers loss, in the Denver Nuggets loss. I don't know if there's another one, but my point to it all being is that this team makes me believe so many times that they can accomplish more and they can do so much together as a team. And then in those other moments, you just feel like all is lost. You're like, is this truly who they are? I do feel like this is leaning toward more who they are consistently. We've seen more games like this. It's just in those losing streak stretches when we see some really bad shit.
Yeah, I think the Suns and Warriors games, the Suns game was a low point for me in terms of it just looked broken.
What about the Knicks?
The Knicks was bad, but it was also like it's the Knicks.
And okay.
I didn't like how they played.
No, Jalen Brunson. No.
The Warriors were outclassed, but the Suns was like next level bad because the Suns had not been playing well. It was just the Kings weren't felt.
Yeah.
The defense was awful. The Memphis game and this game, these are two games in a row.
Yes.
Where we're seeing that type of fight, right?
Response.
And now the challenge is carrying it over tomorrow to Chicago, who could fill it up.
Well, in the adjustments made in this game, even, I appreciate the in-game adjustments to make the Cavs change the way that they were playing instead of allowing them to dictate the way that you were going to play. And that's by doing the little things, keeping up with the physicality, playing tough, like not letting up, all those things. Sure.
Playing faster too.
But that was it. It was like, okay, how do we play faster and how do we make sure we're always having a body on someone? Because you see how Evan Mobley and Allen and whoever else just can fly in there, clean things up. How many offensive boards? They finish with 8 offensive rebounds for 12 points. The Kings finish with 14 offensive rebounds for 10 points. It really is. And it just shows that extra effort was there all night.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Pumped. And the other thing that I give Doug credit, Keon Ellis picked up his 5th foul and Doug decided to take him out the 7:48 mark or 7:14 mark. He took him out. It's 102-100 Cleveland at the time. And I think his plan was to bring Keon back in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Devin was rolling.
Yeah.
And so they end up going, and then they take Valanciunas out at the 6:04 mark. You know, Valanciunas started tonight. So the closing lineup was Devin Carter, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Trey Lyles.
A coach that will roll with the players that are in, that works, is so very important. There's so many coaches out there that get so caught up in like, well, so-and-so is, you know, Zach LaVine has to be in there. And it's like, no, the crew that's rolling, go.
It's also just having a team that's buying in and understanding like the bigger thing is like, hey, you're not being punt. Like this is, we're trying to win games here. We're trying to build something here. And if this move right here gives us a better chance at winning, this is what we're going to do. It doesn't mean Valanciunas was doing anything wrong. No. It was, all right, Evan Mobley's a bit of a problem. We might need a little more speed out there and athleticism. Guy and Lyles who can move a little better. We'll try that.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So I love that adjustment tonight and just the fight. You know, how many times this year we talked about, man, the Kings got beat on the 50-50 balls. Tonight, that wasn't the case. Mm-mm. Diving on the floor, deflections, rebounding, offensive rebounding. And then when you're forcing turnovers, push that shit. And they did that tonight. Like the turnovers, the Kings had more turnovers by one.
Wow.
The difference was Sacramento scored 23 points off the 12 Cavs turnovers. The Cavs scored 15 off the 13 Kings. So you got a plus +8 advantage off points off turnovers. Then a plus +8 advantage on fast break points. Kings had 16 fast break points. And that was key to take on this Cavs team. You have to play fast. You can't throw the ball all over the place. 13, that's a solid number for the Kings. You turn the ball over 13 times, you can live with that.
Yeah.
Right? So it was refreshing to just see them play a controlled game and play so much better after that dreadful first quarter where the offense looked like they were lost.
It's not like they were just missing shots. It looked like they were lost. And for them to have both those things going on for them, and again, not allow it to get them down. How many times have we seen with this team over the years, even, it just drains everyone. It's like, oh, bad first quarter. We figure some things out. Oh, we come out in the second half. It's bad again. It's like, no, there's something different with this squad in the way that they're playing. The way that they're playing for Doug Christie. It's fun to watch. It's fun. And it sure as hell fun to watch when big shots are being made. I just wanted to mention was Keon Ellis when he had some of his big threes in this one, 3 of 4 from 3-point land. It's just like when he knocks those down in his 30 minutes, there's something about them that I think gets the whole crowd even more pumped. I don't know what it is. It's like, it's not like you expect it from him. He's a good 3-point shooter, but I think it's because what he's doing on the defensive end and then like being able to come down and execute some offense too and contribute at a big level. It's just magnificent.
And another good 3-point shooting night for Sacramento. They hit 20 against the Memphis Grizzlies the other night. They were 16 of 35 in this game for 45%. And that was after a slow start, too.
Yes.
They ended up with 48 points in the paint. Not a super high number, but when you consider they had 0 in the first quarter, 48 the rest of the way, you'll take that as well. Damn.
Love that.
Someone in the chat was wondering, I think it's Adam, do you think Markel Fultz will be on Shaqt and a Fool tomorrow for missing that dunk?
Oh, man, that sucks. That sucks for that guy. Because you know what hurt me most for him was just like his health mentally and physically has been the thing over the years that has hurt him the most. And all I'm thinking is like, okay, has he grown a lot? Is he going to bounce back? Is he okay? And what I loved is that he still played some hard defense in his few minutes that he was in there. You know, like he still just tried to contribute in other ways.
Knocked down a three.
Had 5 points still. You know, so again, it was just good that it wasn't like he was shook. He was going to be done.
We got more of the podcast coming up in just a second. We should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery.
Oh, yes. And we're so excited to tell you about Centivo Vineyards. They're a family-owned winery that crafts some of the most amazing and award-winning wines.
But most importantly, Kings fans.
Oh.
And like legit Kings fans, not like, we drink wine and we think we like basketball.
No, No. This family, all their
rowdy
kids.
If you see them at a game, kids, they're basketball sickos.
Sickos.
Like the rest of us.
The sweetest people. Sandy, Cindy, Jimmy, and obviously Helen. Like, they're just the coolest people. They're Kings fans. And they have a new tasting room that is coming up spring of 2025 in the Fairfield area. You can go to centivovineyards.com and get all of their wine there. It is so, so good. And you become a wine club member as well. Make sure to go check them out.
Also presented by our friends of our Golden One Credit Union. We are all one at Golden One, the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. This one's for you. Scan the QR code on the screen or go to goldenonecreditunion.com to see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. Plus, how about these Kings perks? Up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal. 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. And the chance to win courtside and lower bowl seat upgrades when you wave your Golden One card at select games. That includes club access, food and beverages. That's how you win as one.
Why'd you whisper?
I don't know.
Okay.
Also presented by our friends over at Medic Ambulance.
We're thrilled to team up with Medic Ambulance, the trusted name in emergency medical services across Northern California. From life-saving responses to being the team behind the scenes at your favorite events, Medic is there to serve. When seconds matter, trust the professionals setting the standard in patient care. Medic is the official emergency medical response partner of Sac Republic and Sac State Athletics. Learn more at medicambulance.net.
Appreciate everyone's support of the Deuce and Mo podcast, including all of you hanging out with us live late on a Wednesday night. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Vantage Point was a huge topic tonight.
Well, you know what's funny is that I didn't notice anything because
We were at the game watching it. I didn't notice till we turned around. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting camera angle. Cool. And I kept watching. I'm like, oh, wait, is that like, oh, that's the angle.
For the whole second quarter, it was.
Okay, so here are my thoughts. I'm all about trying new angles.
Love
and I thought some
angles.
Of the camera work where it was like low on the baseline, on the sideline.
Yes.
And even the baseline shots at the free throw line, it looked beautiful.
It's dramatic. Love it.
But you got to sprinkle that in.
Yep.
Like again, unsolicited. If you're asking Deuce Mason, unpaid consultant here, I would be like, hey, you guys want to try this stuff?
Yeah.
We'll sprinkle it in. Maybe show like on a highlight play
yep.
or like... one sequence here, but to do it for an entire quarter, I think was jarring. I mean, I'm at the game and I'm turning behind me going, no way. Yep. And then the fans were beyond furious about it because to me, it needs to be an option for, if I want to watch it like that, I'll watch it like that.
No. And just let you know, you were all heard. You were all heard by everyone at NBC and everything. And I think too, I think what would have been great for a lot of reasons is just like sprinkling it in, because then I think people would have been like, oh, that angle is cool. Like you just make that angle is cool when they're dribbling it down the floor.
Sure.
It's crossing the half court. It's like, oh, cool. Your eyes go different.
Or replays.
Just, yeah. Like as a viewer, like when you get different angles, like Deuce and I always talk about it on the podcast where like, we wish we could do like one shots and all these different things. But like, obviously we're a 2-man band. You got to like slow things down.
Sorry, Jeb.
Oh, 3-man band. You got to slow things down. But I guess my point to that, it's like, yeah, you switch around those angles. It's going to be fun, but you just having it there the whole time in that second quarter, you've been heard.
Plus the overhead shot for the main.
Yeah.
It just didn't work.
Sorry. And that goes for any broadcast. I hate watching basketball like that.
I forget which team does it. It might be Utah or Denver. And so they go to that overhead shot too often. I'm like, dude, like, I don't want to see it the whole time. Like, why am I literally feel like Sting during the NWO days when he
was way up
there in the rafters looking over the ring. I'm at home. I want to see what's happening. It's one of those things you sprinkle in replays. I like some of the angles. It's not bad, but to do a whole game, I understand why it's jarring for everybody.
And that's why I hope everyone isn't triggered when Vantage Point comes back into play with, like, sprinkling it in, because they will get it down. They'll do it better and everything. But like, don't be worried when you see the angle pop up now.
My favorite point, but that's the problem now though.
Here's the problem is when you
do it for a whole quarter and it's labeled that way, people are going to see that now and go,
when
it doesn't have to be there. You could,
it's actually really
there's
cool.
Elements of it that could be really cool. And the cameras are great, but to do it for a whole quarter, I could see why people are like, what is good? I mean, I tweeted something out about the first quarter. I'm like, well, my mentions are sure blowing up off a first quarter observation about the game. What could they be talking about?
It's
like, Deuce, change it. As if like I'm the guy that made the call. Like, oh, yeah. Hey, hang on. You don't like it? Dude, let me...
Camera two? Can we get to camera A?
Let me just hit the button right here. I don't have any control over it. Like, what do you want
Zero
me to do?
Control. But just know you were all your concerns were heard.
Yeah.
So, hey, use your voice.
They did. They absolutely did.
They did.
Oh, man. Anything else jump out to you about this particular game, or do you have any questions for me about this particular game?
Questions for you. Did you have a favorite moment? I feel like you already mentioned like seven different favorite moments.
Man, that's a tough one. The Devin Carter dunk was sick. It was nasty. I just loved his energy tonight.
What do you feel like, how can they bring the same approach to tomorrow's game?
You just do it.
Got it.
It's the Bulls. And the Bulls have won 5 of 7. They're playing confident basketball. They lost tonight against the Phoenix Suns. But Kevin Huerter, he's hitting threes, dude. He's knocking it down. I think it was coming into tonight since the All-Star break, 38%. Kobe White's at 24 points per game. They're playing with youth and energy out there. Like, they can definitely come into Sacramento and win a game.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt about it. But if the Kings approach tomorrow like they approach this game and the Memphis game,
yeah,
then they win their third straight.
What do you think was different about DeMar's game tonight?
I mean, he just made shots. DeMar doesn't care who's on him. And sometimes I think that could be frustrating to watch for some because it goes ISO mode. But I liked how he played tonight because his stuff was decisive. There wasn't a lot of like dribble. Like,
well, and that's the thing. I don't think that's why when I ask you like what was different or what did you like, it's like I felt like he allowed the game to come to him. Mm. And didn't just force like ISO. Like it was more like, hey, we need a bucket. Hey, oh, this triple team is coming. I'm going to pass out of it. You know, like whatever I needed to do. So I just liked his adjustments there. Again, he does that in so many different games, but there's other times where you can see it take the team in a different direction. So it was just nice to see he made some really, really good decisions.
Yeah, 27 points in this game, 10 of 19 shooting. He knocked down 2 of 5 from downtown. That's another sneaky element this year. DeMar's hitting the three.
Yeah.
And I'm curious where he's at on the season now.
Yeah.
This is Morgan's favorite game when I go look up a random stat in the middle of the show.
I mean, you know me. I don't care about that. You'd be so mad if it was me looking up the stat.
Okay. You'd I just like, want an updated.
Oh, my favorite part, Morgan, when you don't know a whole stat, but you still say it out loud. And I'm like, sorry, I don't retain.
DeMar DeRozan, I'm not going to call him a flamethrower at all, but he's shooting just under 36% from three on 3.2 attempts a game. 35.7 to be precise, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, 35.7. That is a career high from three.
Wow.
Yeah, you like that?
Wow, I do like that.
Okay. I'm going to give you a little more.
On his three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm big on like, hey, let's how is it since this time period?
I almost wish you had showing this on the screen of you like how you look up things because it's pretty impressive that you do this on the fly. Like, this would take me a good 4 minutes.
I mean, it's you just move around.
No, man. No, it's your little robotic brain.
All right, since January 1st, all right, mm-hmm. Since new year, new DeMar, right? That is how many games for DeMar, Morgan? 35 games.
Okay.
He's shooting 37.9% from three.
So his career best.
Dude. That's great. Keegan at 37.
Wow.
Great numbers. LaVine at 44%. Keon 44. This is since January 1st.
Okay.
Keon at 44. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he shoots it with confidence, and it's dropping. That's great to see for the Sacramento Kings.
Absolutely. So. There's times, I mean, you and I, especially when we were up there tonight, and then he knocks something down, and we just look at each other like, no way.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's smooth. It works. It's the right shot selection.
DeMar had some drives late. Too,
I know.
In traffic where he showed some bursts. I'm like,
I mentioned
oh.
those earlier. Yeah. Like it was
but
very.
But he looked young.
He's 36.
Yeah, but he looked young in those moments. Looked like, oh, that. Wow, a little spry 25-year-old DeMar.
Oh,
playing,
wow.
My poll question tonight was, who was the player of the game? DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
Malik Monk, who I thought actually looked more like Malik Monk again for the mm-hmm. second consecutive game. Was it Keegan Murray or Devin Carter?
Well, I feel like we didn't even give Malik Monk all the love that he deserved in tonight's game. But I would say my player of the game would be Devin Carter. Just because it was so exciting to see the rookie come off the bench, big moments, finish the game.
You know what?
What?
The people agree with you. 68% of the people who voted tonight say it's Devin Carter. And yes, it is.
Ooh.
Devin Carter are simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Devin tonight, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals in 30 minutes. Closed the game for Doug Christie. In addition, he was named the defensive player of the game. He was an absolute menace. A menace?
He was a
menace is what I meant to say. Are simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Check out their 30th anniversary sale right now, Morgan Reagan. Upgrade your window system during the 30th anniversary sale. Purchase 9 windows and a patio door for a huge discount. 100% financing available. Call for details or go to northwestexteriors.com because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Every time you're now like about to start saying simply the best right when the music hits.
My timing's a little off.
Very off, but that's okay.
Simply the best.
Speaking of Devin Carter, let's hear how excited he was after this Kings win tonight.
Devin, congrats on the performance tonight. For you, just where did you feel like you kind of got going? Was it the defensive side of the ball that spurred the offense? And just how do you feel about the performance tonight by yourself?
I think, we came out, executed a game plan to what we prepared for. You know, Cavs coming in, they're a hot team. We knew they were coming off a back-to-back. So just me, what was going through my mind, just, you know, picking up full court, trying to make them more tired than, you know, what they just were. But my teammates found me. They gave me the confidence to just go out there and play my game. I knew where we were down, a few guys. So knowing I was going to get a little extra tick tonight. So I was just trying to make the best, most out of it.
Devin, you went for one against Memphis, went for a jam, and Memphis didn't work out, got the opportunity tonight and converted it. Just, I guess, walk me through that first dunk and the reaction inside the Golden 1 Center to it.
Appreciate Malik for the pass. I was kind of like chirping that I was behind him, but it was a good pass, and I just jumped.
Devin, just how difficult has it been to sit there and bide your time and wait for this opportunity to finally come your way?
At the end of the day, I just know what's best for the team. Just listen to my coaches. Just trying to stay ready, regardless if I play 0 minutes or 40 minutes. I just go out there, play same way every single time. But blessed to have the opportunity to go out there and play tonight, and just try to make the best of it.
Dev, how much do you feel? Obviously you got the crowd into it, but how much do you feel like you kind of ignited your teammates as well?
I feel like I did a pretty good job. I think it was everybody though. The whole second unit, first unit. Everybody had juice tonight. So, I wouldn't say it was just me, but I think it was everybody.
Devin, you were seesawing back and forth between Stockton and Philly and the Kings, and I think you played about 5 games while you were with the Stockton Kings. Mm. How much did that help you? Because Doug told us, I think it was last week before you went on that road trip, that he told the coach Quentin that he wanted you to bring the ball up and, do more things with the ball. So how much did that help, being down there with the G League team?
It helps a lot. As you guys know, I had surgery. So I missed out on training camp, summer league, all that. So I didn't play too many games. I missed the first 30 games. And then just wanted to get some reps. I felt like I wasn't really ready. So I went down there, got my reps, and then like you mentioned, Doug talked to Q, wanted me to play a role that I was going to play with the Kings. So, just went down there, worked on things, confidence, conditioning, all that, and, just here we are. So,
Devin.
There's Devin Carter after this Kings win tonight.
Mm.
A lot of people in the chat commenting about Devin Carter's hair. And my take is so different than all of yours.
Oh, you want him to shave his head?
So he looks like everybody else? Guess what? Nobody in the league, nobody in sports has a look like that.
It's fair.
It's a trademark. Embrace it. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Shave your head. Why? So he can look like every other player who shaves their head. No, if he wants his hair like that, that's a confident man.
Love it.
That's a man I want on my team that doesn't care. You know what? He's a dog, just like Jalen Suggs. Oh, Jalen Suggs' hair is a little thin up. He doesn't care. You know what he does? He goes and plays basketball because this is the game we love. How are we doing tonight?
What's the thing that you said earlier? This is why we play?
Yes, this is why we play games.
And it was funny. You said it on the pregame show, and then we had to go to break, but I was like going to ask you on the pregame show, like, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean when you say that?
This is why we play the games, because, look, I went into this game. Did I expect the Kings were going to win? No. I wasn't like, hey, I expect to win tonight. I was like, you know, they can make it competitive. And all my thought process was, I just saw examples the last two nights in the NBA. I saw Denver go to Golden State without Jokic and without Murray beat a hot Warriors team. The next night, Golden State, second night of a back-to-back without Steph against the Bucks at full strength, they beat the Bucks. And this is why you play the games, because you don't just like roll over and go, oh yeah, we concede, we're going to lose to the Cavs. No, you go play. And it's fine if you're going to be down, but like, I think there are so many people like, oh, they're going to get clapped tonight. It's done. Oh, they're screwed. This sucks. Woe is me. It's like, no, you go play. You figure out a way to get it done. And tonight's a great example of that. This team has talent. It's about them putting it all together, them being on the same page, communicating, understanding roles, understanding what's the best thing for the team. Get the ball popping, play fast, play physical, and you're going to give yourself a chance to win every night, every night. So that's the approach. Has to be the approach tomorrow night.
It has to. And it's...
That's why you play the games.
That's why you play the games. It's beautiful. It is. And I had so much fun these last two games. And, you know, I think about how dark it felt after that losing streak. It's not because they were losing. It's because of the way that they were losing. And the way that they're winning feels... like it's real and not fluky. And that's, I just got to see them bring it every single night. Process over outcome.
You love that line.
It's because it's something that I truly believe in when it comes to basketball. And I don't think enough people, and for totally validated, feel that same way, because as a fan, we're all just like, You want to win. Winning's fun. I want to pay for tickets. If this team's winning, you better put a winning product out there, blah, blah, blah. But I think for someone like, I don't know, me, I just like how I view basketball when I watch basketball. I truly enjoy seeing a team grow, seeing a team like, and people think I have low standards at times, but it's just how I view the game. I don't know.
That's fair.
Okay.
No, that's fair. And I think what we're seeing the last couple of games gives reason for optimism that, okay, yes, this homestand is really tough.
Yeah.
Right? You have a back-to-back tomorrow, and then, you know, you've got a day off. The Bucks come to town, and then you get a day off, and you play back-to-back with Boston OKC. But it's not supposed to be easy, right? Like, it's not supposed to be easy. No. So, if you can string it together and play this style, you are going to give yourself an opportunity. And is it going to end in the result you want all the time? No, but you're right. If you go with that approach, go through that right process, fighting,
hell yeah,
clawing, go down swinging. Let's hear a little bit, Doug Christie, Morgan.
What did it take from the group? And like, what was the message after that first quarter to, you know, get that type of performance out of them?
I mean, I guess like what you're saying is like, how do you get that performance? And I say, that's the performance that I expect. The result might vary from time to time, but that's what we expect: a high level of intensity, of physicality, of picking up, of active hands, of like, they're gonna make shots. Like, Donovan Mitchell is spectacular. Evan Mobley is great. Like, these players can play. But that's how, when you put on our jersey, that's what is expected out of you. And hats off to our guys, because when you're missing firepower and your stars are down and all these different things happen, you know, it's easy for you to woe is me. And, you know, my message in there to them was to play for each other, play for each other. And that's what they did. They played for each other. And you can do that on both ends of the floor. You know, it's not just offensively where I get off of it and give you a pass and all those things. It's also your attitude. Like, I'm playing for you. So if it doesn't go right, we're not about to go back and forth. I got you. You got me. Let's keep building. And then on the defensive end, like, just the multiple efforts, that's what playing for each other is about. Like, guys are going to beat you. We're going to get into scramble.
Yep.
Are you going to continue to fly around, or are you going to take one play off? And in a game that's this close, one play is everything. And to their credit, they flew around.
Doug, you played for one of the best next man up coaches probably in the history of the league, in Rick Adelman.
Yeah.
Just, how do you develop that chemistry and that mindset with the team, especially when you're missing, you know, a bunch of players tonight?
One thing I would say, James, is I try to love all my players. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter, like, all the way down. I don't stop at the star. I don't stop at the starting five. So whoever it is, I give them all the same love and respect. And I think that hopefully, can't speak for them, but hopefully that builds confidence. And in the confidence comes, coach, trust me. And then when the opportunity presents itself, have you done all the things that you need to do to be prepared for that opportunity? And even when they go and play their next game and all, I try to go down there just to let them know, like, just because you didn't play last night and you're playing in the next game today, I'm here to watch you because I respect what you're doing. And I think those are the things that, at least for me, to try to build that up in these young men.
Yep. Doug, I believe there's a clip on an episode of The Run where you tell the guys, like, you've messed up now because you've shown me that you can do it.
Yeah.
How, are you able to, like, almost bottle up and take a game and or film or moments like this and use that to motivate or to remind the team in the struggle times or the times where the play isn't up to standard? Are you able to draw back on games like this to remind them they can do it?
You know, I guess you can. I've used Boston a couple of times, but more than anything, it's really the simplicity of competing at a really high level, regardless. And I used to say this to you guys when I first started, is the opponent doesn't have a face. Like, when we look in the mirror, that's your opponent right there, because today I don't feel like it. We got a back-to-back. My foot hurts, my back hurts, my knee hurts. Can you override that little voice that's talking to you and give it up for your teammates? And these guys, they have. And that's more than anything is me saying and joking with them. You know, it's like, you know, you messed up now. You showed me that you can do it. You know, same thing with my son making his bed. It's like, it looks good in here, man, you know. So can we do that tomorrow? And that's the fun part of it. But this is serious business at the same time. But we have fun. And that's what I want them to all bring, that joy, regardless. You know, I was a young kid, and you would be sore and different things. But I wanted to play basketball more than anything. So didn't matter, and that's what they're doing right now. So super proud of them.
Keegan and Devin talked about executing the game plan well. how satisfied were you with the game plan, and what are some examples of where you saw that being executed?
Good question,
you know,
Brendan.
On the very first play of the game, Struce came off and got downhill, and I had talked about going under if the screen was super high. Next play, Malik goes under, nothing. So it's just the ability to communicate at a high level.
Right.
You know, physicality is something that I wanted from them. So when I went to Devin and he got in the game, I said, zero airspace. Like, you go and you touch him and you make sure that he understands that you're going to be here. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, two things happen. The player step up or he back up. And for Devin, like, there were players that stepped up, but at the same time, he backs some people up too, and that's exciting to watch them. Keegan with the Reds, with the rear view contests, with all the little things that we ask of them. And it's difficult, man. It's a lot. Try to keep it as simple as we can, but at the same time, try to mix in things, because I know that these guys are so special that you can't do it the same way every time, because they will figure out they will problem solve. And Donovan Mitchell is probably one of the best problem solvers that this game has. So credit to both of those guys for bringing the physicality and trying to follow a game plan and see it through.
There's Doug Christie. Man, I love that guy. Yeah, he just he's worked really hard for this, and I just hope this season continues to trend upward.
Yeah.
I know I've talked about this before on the podcast, but like what he is, and Stan Van Gundy mentioned this on the broadcast, like in the Kings Warriors game, about what Doug has been through this year. I mean, hell, we've all been through it too, right? I mean, in the chat, BP just said someone could legitimately write a book about this season. It has been so insane, and it's not even over yet. This feels like a massive turning point for this group. I hope you're right on that last part, but you're right. I mean, it is insane. Every time you think they might be dead, they're alive. And then when you think they're alive, then they die in front of you, right? Like, it's insane. But Doug taking over this squad, when he did, galvanizing those players and also understanding the dynamics of a coaching staff that let's be honest, a lot of Mike Brown guys,
yeah,
that's not an easy thing to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot of challenges.
And his first time doing this.
Yeah.
So how he's navigated those waters, got it back on track, dealing with the Fox trade, implementing new guys. Now the adversity of Sabonis, who did not miss a game last year, missed a couple before, that doesn't miss time, is missing time. Down LaVine on game day.
Doug has an identity that he wants for this team. Yeah. This team, again, when you're trying to create that identity more than halfway through the season, it's going to be hard for the whole team to just like consistently do that. But you can see that they're capable. And that's what is so frustrating about it at times when it does go downhill in certain ways, because it's like, no, stick to the identity that you want, or that you even want to create and hope that you can bring into next year, because like that's how you grow off of it with that experience. So I hope we never for the rest of the season have to see like a 1-2-3 Cancun,
no,
3-2-1 Cancun.
Please do not. I do not want to see a 1-2-3 Cancun game.
1-2-3. Oh yeah, I can't talk.
One other guy that we didn't mention a lot tonight, or I don't think we really mentioned him. Maybe it was on post game on TV.
Ooh.
Valanciunas, 12 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists. He had 5 offensive rebounds. In fact, he and Trey Lyles combined for 8 of the Kings' 14 offensive rebounds.
Whoa, cleaning it up. And that's what we were saying. His presence just being felt, having a guy of that size again, while Sabonis is out, being able to just be in there and to contribute and do things. Not always perfect, but sure as hell does a lot out there. And especially when it comes to like cleaning up around the rim, getting them those second chance points.
He had that play late shot clock where he's just pounding it down low in the paint. Double team comes and he just dishes it right to Trey Lyles for a jam. I'm like, oh God, that's beautiful. I'm over there going, oh, there's 4, there's 3, there's 2 seconds, get it up.
2 assists in this one.
Yep. And the tip-ins, the put, yeah.
I yeah. mean, he's
massive. So.
It's just a fun, I like it. I mean, we said it from the start, Deuce, a fun game from this entire team. Like we went through everyone just being like, everyone had their individual moments, but together it was just like, it's fun that we get to talk about this for the Sacramento Kings, because you and I were talking about that Cavs Clippers game so much of being like, how fun was that? That was so fun to watch for any basketball fan, blah, blah. For Kings fans tonight, watching your team play in this fashion all the way down into the bench, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, it's a big time win over a very talented team. The Cavs have now lost three in a row, by the way. Three in a row. Second time that's happened to them this season. So that's tough. But obviously a talented team without Darius Garland. Donovan Mitchell, I know Doug mentioned him. We were watching that game last night, Clippers and Cavs. Mitchell was 1 of 10 in the second half, but got off to a great start. But big picture with Donovan Mitchell, I don't think he gets the love he deserves for this year. I feel like he got more hype when he was in Utah.
He did.
And this season, how the Cavs have been playing overall has been pretty remarkable. But like, this was bad last year for them. Mm-hmm. It was an ISO-heavy team. He and Garland maybe didn't click at times. There was a lot of talk about maybe those two would not be around. One of them had to go. And for him to buy into Kenny Atkinson, for Donovan Mitchell to sacrifice like he has and just work on his overall game.
Oh,
just
both sides.
Dude, so I mean, that play he had, that drive he had on Trey Lyles.
Oh, yeah. No, it's his ability to get to the rim in different ways, whether it's with the push dribble, whether it's a Euro step, whether it's with the way that he keeps the ball up high and comes back underneath. I mean, like, he's crafty, he's athletic, and he's such a threat. And I think, and I could be totally wrong about this. I think sometimes maybe he doesn't get the love that he deserves because the team is so good. And so it's like, oh, this is such a good team. But then, like, I guess to debate my own point, you go over to OKC, the team's so good and the team gets a lot of love, but SGA gets a lot of individual love, you know, and which he absolutely deserves. And I believe is on even another level. But still, I think Donovan Mitchell, just who he is as an individual in this league, especially what he's been doing with this Cavs team, especially this season, is so impactful.
I think he's playing the best basketball of his career right now. Just overall, how he's getting his teammates involved, the passing, the footwork, the shot making. Yeah, it's really impressive. And then Evan Mobley.
My God.
Just, they've unlocked him this year. I mean,
he can
see
dribble
that,
up
that,
and down.
That run he had in the third quarter, I'm like, oh no. Is he about to drop like 45?
And I was like, who's going to stop him?
Yeah.
You know, that's what it feels like when someone is at that size, the skill sets that they have at that size, you're just like, holy shit, what do you need to do to stop him? Get more physical, whatever. It's like he was going to power through, and some huge moments from him.
Yeah, and he didn't get a lot of looks late in the fourth quarter. So he had 12 points in the fourth quarter.
No, in the
that third. Went in, I mean, in the third. And then in the fourth quarter, he had 10 points on 4 of 6 shooting. Oh, man, what a game for him. Mm-hmm. He ended up with 31 points, 10 rebounds in the loss. Damn.
Big game.
All right. It sucks that we can't enjoy this longer.
I know.
Because there's a game tomorrow night. We'll be live after the game. We'll be live for pre and post game tomorrow on TV2. Kings and Bulls. Maybe good news for Sacramento. Zach LaVine, who missed tonight's game due to personal reasons, he was seen in the Kings locker room after the game. The media was interviewing Malik Monk. LaVine popped in and dapped him up. Malik said, "You good?" And LaVine said, "Yep." And that was that. So maybe LaVine is able to go tomorrow against his former team, which will carry some emotion. I mean, the guy played 8 years for the Bulls, his first chance to play Chicago. And on the flip side, Kevin Huerter returned to Sacramento. Oof. Kevin's playing some good basketball right now. He's knocking down threes. He's shooting at a very high level right now. And this Bulls team's won 5 of 7. They lost tonight to Phoenix on the road, 127-121. Devin Booker had 41. For the Bulls, Kobe White, 24 points. Vucevic with 24. Josh Giddey's been playing some good basketball. Off the bench, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. This Bulls team can put up points. So this is not a team you take lightly at all. They're playing with some good energy. They're sharing the ball. It's moving well for
both
them.
Teams on a second night of a back-to-back, like we've mentioned. So it's just making sure, too, that someone like Kevin Huerter doesn't have all of a sudden a good shooting night or something. So got to lock him up.
Dude, Kevin Huerter, revenge game tomorrow. How would you feel? Okay, so you feel this win over the Cavs. If tomorrow night, Kevin Huerter, 27, game winner.
Oh!
Would that be worst possible scenario?
Yeah, I'm going back to like dark, deep, dark, awful thoughts. I'm like, this team doesn't have it. They don't have it.
Yeah.
No, it'd be depending on how they actually played in that game. But at the same time, that would be awful.
I'm happy that Kevin is getting into a rhythm in Chicago.
Same. You know,
change the sceneries can help so much, dude. And yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be a fun night to see how the Kings respond the second I have a back-to-back against a Bulls team that you can't sleep on. I think they can score. And
sleep on.
You have to approach it the same way you approach. Like Doug was just saying in the post game, they don't have faces. They are in your way.
Mm-hmm.
You go stop them.
Yep.
So approach it the right way. We'll be back live tomorrow night after that game. Morgan, give me some final thoughts.
Final thoughts? So much more fun, obviously, when they win. But it's special when they win like this. Huge win tonight against the Cavs. So fun celebrating with all of you tonight on a Wednesday night. Hopefully we're feeling the same way tomorrow. It's a Thursday. Let's get it done.
Even with only 418 thumbs up?
How dare you?
Slap in the face. Really.
No. Slap in the face. But if you want to give a thumbs up before you go, please.
My final thought. Dude, this is what I love about sports. It's unpredictable. We're all feeling down. I mean, after that Suns game, I was even like, okay, we're about to march into hell right now.
Yeah.
They've responded quite well the last couple of games, and I'm interested to see if they can carry this forward. Let's keep it moving. One at a time. Let's get it going.
Let's see where we're at 24 hours from now.
Yes. We love you guys so, so, so much. Make sure to comment after the show, too. We gots to go.
Love you guys. Thanks for joining us. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.